Welcome to Set the Sails, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Brought to you by Bucks Life Media and our official sponsor, the Jersey Wave. Streaming on FanStreamSports.com, airing on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And now, your hosts, James Flash Ludeman, James Britt Buck Wilson, and Ruth the Truth Cagias. We are going live in 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Set the Sails, the podcast. We are live here hanging out with you. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight as we are looking forward to episode number 20. And we got a lot of cool stuff that's going on and a lot of great things to talk about tonight. We even have a very special guest that's going to be joining us here momentarily. But let's go ahead and bring in our panel, of course. We will start with one of our awesome co-hosts here, of course. All of these guys are co-hosts, and they're all awesome. But we'll start with our friend from the north, if you will, Britt Buck. What's up, James? How are we doing?
Happy Labor Day, James. How is it going?
Happy Labor Day. That's right. Are we laboring today? Is that what's happening?
Every day is a labor, I suppose, of some description. Everybody, yeah, you know what? Here we are, episode 20, and you know what? I can't wait.
You can't believe it, right? In that,
no, I can believe it.
Because you can believe it today. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? It's the disbelief has now passed, and I've now moved into acceptance. Accept that we are probably one of the best Buccaneers podcasts around. I'll live with that.
One of them. No, we are the best podcast around. Anyway, let's bring in our other host here as well, our normal host, whatever the new normal is here, I guess. Her name is Ruth the Truth. Hello, Ruth. Good evening.
Hello, gentlemen. So sorry I'm late, but I made it.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. I can't believe you're late. You missed the pre-staff meeting.
I know, I did. But we're just jumping right into things.
The pre-staff meeting?
The pre-staff.
Before your staff.
It's the pre-show meeting or the staff meeting.
That's how are my James is doing. I miss you guys.
Oh, we miss you. Good? Yeah. It's good. I wasn't here last week, but I heard that there was a lot of shenanigans going on. So I'm here to stop that tonight. But anyway, Ruth's just like, I don't know anything about that. All right. Well, let's bring in our next host. He is this one of the hosts of Sports Caffeine, which you can catch every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Bucks Life, Bucks Life Media. You can catch all that. They're also on FanStreamSports.com, which is also where we are at as well. Say hello to El Bushman. Hello, sir. Good evening.
Ooh.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
I like the new flag in the back.
Cool. Hey, thank you. I redid my office, so there's some stuff.
Is it big enough?
That's what she said. It's big enough.
So. All right. Well, alongside Truth, she is one half of the hosts of Beauty and the Cleats, which you can catch on Wednesday evening at, oh my gosh, what time? Was it 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock on Wednesday.
8 o'clock. Okay, perfect. I was making sure I had that. Let's bring in the other host of Beauty and the Cleats. Kaylee Tchaikovsky is with us. What's up, Kaylee?
Hello, hello.
Yay. Good evening. Jacksonville Jaguars extraordinaire, ladies and gentlemen.
Gardner Minshew. Week one of NFL. I cannot tell you how excited I am for that. So,
dude, football starts in like 3 days.
Guys, Thursday.
I feel like we've been waiting forever, though.
It's been a while.
I feel like it's been like a year since.
It's been a while since we.
2020 has been such a long year. So I'm so excited that football. And you know, and now that football season started, this year is going to fly. Watch.
100%.
That's how it always works out.
James, you kind of like on this smaller screen, you look a little bit like Aaron Lewis.
Like the dude from Stain? Yeah, totally. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I either get that I look like him or I look like the dude from This Is Us. Like those two things are the people they're like, dude, you look like the guy from This Is Us all the time. But anyway, so
are you also on the outside?
I'm on the inside.
He's always looking in.
That's right.
He's looking in.
It's been a while. All right. So let's talk about this just for a second because we kind of got into this and we're waiting on our very special guest to join us. He's not here as of yet, but we're waiting on him to arrive and we'll have Ruth introduce him when he does and I'll let you know. But I want to bring this up because, again, football starts on Thursday. Thursday night, we have the first game of the season, of course. We have the Houston Texans traveling to visit your Super Bowl champions and my Mahomie, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Did you really just do a Mahomie joke?
I did. He's my Mahomie. Let's talk about that game just real quick. I know it's not a Bucks conversation, and we're going to get into a lot of that.
It's football.
That's right. And in the last 2 months of 2020 that we've been dealing with, I'm just kidding, it's been going on all year long. So let me ask you guys this question. We'll go around the horn here real quick and talk about this. What's something you're looking forward to just to see? I know it's going to look a little different as far as fans and things like that are concerned, but let's go around. Just tell me one thing you're looking forward to about Thursday night. Go ahead, Evan.
Oh, I'm going first. Okay.
Yeah, you're going first. You're up.
Sorry, I'm on a lot of cold medicine right now. I'm just looking forward for football being back. I mean, we've been quarantined for a long time. You know, the anticipation of if the NFL season was going to happen or not going to happen, and it's actually happening. And I'm looking forward to it. Even though I think it's going to be a kind of a sloppy game, honestly. But I'm just looking forward to seeing the spectacle that is NFL season 2020. So I'm looking forward to being back.
All right, Kaylee, go ahead real quick.
Offense. I think that's what Thursday night's game is going to be all about. I'm excited to see Pat Mahomes get back and see how much he's improved since his Super Bowl championship. And then obviously Deshaun Watson, just want to see him thrive. I think he's
got
back.
Paid. Just
so far in his career, so I want to see him have a good season.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the season kickoff. You know, Thursday's a big day. I'm very excited to see Homie. And how he performed with getting paid the amount of money that he did. And I'm looking forward to see the rust getting shaken off, because you already know, you know, with no preseason games, with COVID being a huge monster on everybody's back, that, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the rust getting shaken off.
All right, Britt Buck, real quick.
Perversely, I'm actually waiting to see, like, if there is a Super Bowl hangover from the Chiefs. I think they might surprise a few people this year.
Like surprises and bad surprise or good,
yeah,
surprise?
Bad surprise. I think people are saying that, you know, the roster is so talented. They are pretty much the same team they were last year. They've got better in areas where they had slight weaknesses. You know what? I think they're going to surprise people. I think they're not going to be as good as what people are expecting, because, you know what? It's the Super Bowl hangover.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Ruth, I think we have a special guest that is waiting. So, you're up. Go ahead. Introduce
yourself. All right. I'm super excited. All of our viewers, so glad that you're here with us, because we have a treat for you tonight. We have a Super Bowl champion kicker that's going to be joining us, Martin Gramatica.
Yay!
I'm so excited. He was drafted in the third round in the 1990 NFL draft for the Tampa Bay Bucks, and we have him here on the show. So,
K-State.
How you guys doing?
Welcome. Tell us how you're doing.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great.
Great to have you on the show.
I see a lot of Bucks flags back there. Nice.
Yes. Got to represent, you know?
Except for the one.
He does have a Bucks helmet behind him. When I had him on the show last week, he had the Bucks helmet like right in the middle. I'm not sure if he changed places for that, but I think it's still up there. So.
Oh, still there. Maybe my camera's not up there, but there you go. You can see it.
There you go. Beautiful thing. All right, so we'll start off with a quick question. I want to know, what was your anticipation for the NFL draft back in 1999? Walk us through that day.
Oh, well, that's, you hear a lot of talk, you know, you can get drafted second round, third, fourth, and it was a scary time. The same year that the Cleveland Browns had their complimentary picks, because that was the year they were coming back to the NFL, so I didn't want to go to Cleveland over one pick. You know, the Bucks picked 80th, Cleveland picked 79th, and coming to the Bucks was like coming home. My brother was kicking at USF. My younger brother kicked at USF after that. So, it was one of those phone calls that I'll never forget. You get that call. I talked to Coach Dungy, Rich McKay, the general manager, and then they put me on with a special teams coach, Joe Marciano. So that conversation with those three guys is something that I'll never forget.
All right, James, Britt Buck is next in the middle here with you.
Hi, Martin. Great to have you on the show. I know a lot of people obviously associate you with the Super Bowl winning Bucks. And one of the things I think a lot of people sort of talk about is how a roster can look before the season starts. Before that, I'll describe it in the true word that it is, before that magical season actually took place, did you look at the roster at all and think, actually, you know what, this is a bunch of guys that could go over the top?
Well, we saw that even the years before, you know, with Coach Dungy building the team. I remember my rookie year, we went to the championship game and lost to the Rams over that controversial, you know, catch by a Bert Emanuel, which by after that they changed the rule. And then we made the playoffs every year after that. We were unfortunate. We lost in the first round to the Eagles the two years prior to that. So it was a very, very similar roster as far as the defense. That was what Dungy had built in that year. Added a few offensive weapons. But at the end of the day, you know, you never know because you have a new coach. His message was always to win, you know, both, you know, Dungy and Gruden. But I think once the season started, we just started getting momentum. You know, we lost our first game of the year against the Saints. So you think, oh, you lose your first game. Do you really have a good team? And we lost in overtime. And after that, we just kind of got on a roll and won a few games and then just started feeling it. You know, once it got towards the end of the season when we beat Chicago in the cold, which was the first time the Bucks have ever won under 40 degrees, then we felt pretty good after that. You know, it didn't matter. And then beating Philadelphia, obviously, that was our Super Bowl. You know, once we got passed through Philadelphia, it didn't really matter who we were facing. We were so hungry and so ready for that Super Bowl. It didn't matter. But when you look at the roster, you look at times and you think, yeah, this is a roster that can win it. But your coach usually sends that message every year. You know, you go into the season hoping to win the Super Bowl. You don't go in, you know, thinking, oh, if we go 500, we'll be happy, you know?
That's cool. Now, I just want to sort of like, fanboy for a moment here, if you forgive me. Now, these guys here know one of my favorite pieces of like writing about football is a book by Stefan Fatsis, A Few Seconds of Panic. I'm not sure you might be. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not familiar, but I've had a lot of seconds of panic as a kicker. But
well, in the book there, he kind of describes that NFL kickers are seen as kind of the outcasts of the roster and sort of like maybe a different breed of football player. How is it that you sort of respond to that?
Well, it was a lot different. When I came to the league, it was different, you know, where the guys would do their kicking or punting and then they would go play golf or they would leave. You know, they weren't, they were part of the team, but not so integrated into the team. A former soccer player, I wanted to be around. So when I kicked, I'd stay, hang out with the guys. So I never felt like an outsider. The guys never treated me like an outsider. Even in the off season, I would do the whole off season conditioning with the team. That way, if I wanted to be around, because you know they're my teammates, I wanted to be around the group. It's just that's the fun part of it, you know, building that chemistry. But also too, if you know, the guys knew that if I missed a kick, it wasn't because I was out on the driving range hitting golf balls. You know, they just, look, he works as hard as we do. You're going to make some, miss some. But I didn't want to be looked at as the kickers were in the past, where they were definitely looked at as outsiders because they acted like outsiders. You know, they would kick and go home or, you know, show up, you know, to practice, do their kicking and then go to the golf range during 2 days. Between practices, where most guys barely can walk between practices, you know, they're so exhausted because camp was a lot different than it is now. You know, they actually hit each other a lot in camp and the practices were hard and long. So I never wanted to be that type of kicker. I wanted to be one that got involved and stayed involved. And I think that has transitioned more where a lot of the kickers are soccer players or former players. So they stay and they do more stuff with the team. They want to be part of the group.
That's awesome. Thank you, Martin.
No problem.
Yeah, and going off of that, like you mentioned, being ingrained with the team, that's something, you know, as someone who's worked on that team side, you don't see a lot. Are there any other kickers that you've, you know, worked with in your career or have known that have wanted to be more ingrained with the team as a whole, whether that be training in the locker room or off time? And do you think that that kind of contributes to some teams we see more successful in the kicking area where they have, you know, less problems year after year compared to teams who do find it hard to kind of settle those kicking issues.
Well, I think once you, you're part of the team and the team accepts you as their kicker and you do, you know, make a few kicks and they feel like you're part of the group, then it's a lot easier. You know, it's hard as a rookie to come in. If you miss a couple of kicks, the guys are like, look, we don't want to ruin our season over a rookie kicker, you know, so they kind of look at you a little bit different. But I was very fortunate to be on some teams that I felt pretty good. I mean, especially in Tampa. Tampa, I never felt like anybody was looking at me differently.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump in here next because, listen, I probably, out of all of us, I think I've been – I don't want to say I've been the Bucks fan the longest, but I'm the oldest one here, so maybe I have been the Bucks fan the longest here.
You're not the oldest one here.
What?
I'm 37. I'm 37. Oh, that's
right. You are 37. Never mind. Okay. Well, I'm the second oldest.
I'm 35.
I can definitely say that I've been the Bucks.
Well, do I count? I'm a little older than you guys.
Okay. I wasn't gonna go there, but if you want to do that, I guess that's on.
It's all right.
So you brought up a moment earlier when you talked about the first game against the Saints during the Super Bowl year. I remember that game. From top to bottom, one of the craziest games, probably one of the craziest fourth quarters that I've seen in football. And you make the kick to tie the game, and then overtime happens, and everything just kind of collapsed. So I wanted to ask you, just to kind of get inside the mind of a kicker, because here's the thing. People think that kicking, and we even have some who we work with that believe that kickers are kind of, you know, iffy. They should just always go for two and take their chances because, like we've had here in Tampa, and I know somebody's going to ask this question later, so I'm not going to jump ahead of that. We've had some issues with that here. So what is the mindset as far as kicking in those just those crazy, crucial moments that are just – I mean, what is your mindset going into a moment like that where you're trying to tie a game?
Right. That kick you're talking about was one where we kind of rushed in. We only had and we had practiced that where you only have 20 seconds to get it off. So it's one of those. I couldn't even take my steps. I couldn't even measure. I just, you know, told the holder, put the ball down and I'll just kick it. So there's really not much thinking on when it comes to those because you don't have even time to prepare. You just go out there and kick. There's no timeouts. The clock's running. So that was one of those cases. And we practice it every week. And that's the only time in my career that I had to do it like that, which is a last-second kick like that where you run off without any time. But for any other one where there is time to think, you just have to try to focus as if it was the same kick, you know, as a first quarter kick. You can't think, well, if I make this, like, we win, or if I make this, we tie, and if I miss, we lose. As soon as that kicker has missing in his mind, that's it. It's over, you know. So you always have to think positive. You never have to – you never think of it, what happens if you do miss or then affects everything positive. I mean, sometimes it works out, sometimes not. And it also depends on how you're feeling. There's days where you feel on and it doesn't matter where we're kicking from, I'm going to make it. You know, you just like – you know you're on, you feel confident. And then there's days where you just – things aren't working and for some reason you're not hitting the ball well and then an extra point fell far. So it just depends on how you feel that day. But for the most part, you just got to stay focused and treat it like if it were a first quarter kick.
So my follow-up to that, you go later on in the season. Obviously, you make it to the Super Bowl. We're all ecstatic here in Tampa, of course. We're all going nuts. And you make a kick in the Super Bowl. Obviously, making that field goal. Was that the pinnacle for you as far as – you know, your career and kind of what you saw going through? Is that like, because, you know, when you hear the stories of football players, quarterbacks, you know, wide receivers who are playing out in the sandlot and they're throwing to, you know, Jerry Rice in the Super Bowl, who you guys have to play, they have these moments where they're like, yes, I'm envisioning myself as the quarterback throwing a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But obviously for kicking, it looks a little bit different. So is that moment when you made that kick, was that kind of the pinnacle for you? You're like, man, I've arrived now. Like, I'm good now.
Well, yeah, I didn't really get a chance to enjoy it or think of anything because prior to the game, the warm-ups for the Super Bowl were the worst warm-ups I had in my career. I couldn't make a kick. So I'm assuming it had to be a little bit of tension, a little bit of nerves. I'm not sure, maybe. But the whole week felt pretty regular. I didn't feel too much pressure. I didn't really think about the Super Bowl too much. And then when I arrived at the stadium and you see all the flags and you see all the people tailgating, that's when it really hit me. I'm like, man, I'm really here. You know, before that, during the week, you do all the interviews, you the media day, you have all that. But for me, it didn't hit me until I got to the stadium. And then, like I said, my warm-up was so bad that special teams coach was like, should we go for two all game? Or kind of like you were saying earlier about kickers, should we go for two? And we can't kick any field goals. It was that bad. And luckily, once the first one goes in, you kind of relax, and then it feels like a normal game. But that first one was huge to be able to get in, especially with as bad of a warm-up as I had. You know, once I got that one in. And then we won by so much, you know, with the defense scoring so many points that – at the end, I just got tired of kicking extra points, which was nice. You know, I was able to enjoy the fourth quarter. The kicker, you never enjoy the game because you never know when it's going to come down to the kicker. And when we were up by so many points in the fourth quarter, you don't relax completely because you're still playing. But we knew the game was pretty much out of reach for Oakland. So especially the way the defense was playing, that you're able to sit back and enjoy it and take in some of that moment where normally you couldn't.
Thank you.
No problem.
Martin, I got to ask you, what do the Bucks need to do to get an automatic kicker? I mean, do you believe in curses at all? Do they have to sacrifice a live chicken? What needs to be done to get an actual kicker in there? There hasn't really been a reliable one since you and then also Matt Bryant. They're saying there's a Matt Bryant curse, but I think it could all go all the way back to when they released you. I mean, what do the Bucks need to do? Do they need to go out and go scout soccer players, rugby guys? What do the Bucks need to do to get a reliable kicker in there?
No, I think a lot of it has to do with the fans being patient with the kicker. A lot of times the young guys, you know, when they miss an early kick at home, they get booed. And the first thing, you know, the media is asking is, do you believe in the curse? So they start putting stuff in these guys' heads. And then they talk about the south end zone being harder to kick than the north end zone, which I never even thought there was an issue with either one until now they're bringing it up so much, you know, where kickers are struggling more on the south side. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fans booing a kicker as soon as he misses a kick. And he could, you know, I remember last year with Matt Gay, unfortunately, the one that he missed was a big one because it was a game winner and it's a short one. But, man, that stadium started booing like he had already missed 10 kicks, you know. So I think mentally that affects the kicker. You never want to get booed at home, you know. And instead of showing support, and understandably so, you know, the fans, they've been, you know, we've struggled with kickers. So they're kind of frustrated and tired of seeing kickers miss. So I can understand the fan side. But we could help the kicker out a lot more by cheering and just, you know, kind of helping him get his head up. The guy never miss a kick on purpose, you know. So I think our fans could play a big role in trying to help a kicker get through a couple bad kicks, whatever, you know, at home. But I don't know, it's been tough. The misconception is that, you know, you're kicking in Florida, warm weather, but there is a lot of wind here in Florida, you know. So it's not the easiest place to kick if you can't tell where you can't adjust to the wind. Which I thought Matt Gay was the perfect kicker for Tampa because he has a strong leg, so he would be able to cut through that wind and not have that ball affected. Unfortunately for him, he was missing some short kicks, kind of like Brusarian said, you know, you have to make the gimmies, and that's the ones that he missed. And I think if the quarterback was anybody but Tom Brady, he may have had a better chance. But when you have Tom Brady, you don't have the luxury of missing kicks and losing games and then not missing the playoffs over a kick or two, you know. So they need to find somebody reliable, somebody they can believe in, and somebody they can trust. You know, last year we missed a few games because of the kick. Can you imagine if we in the same situation this year and we miss the playoffs? This is a team that's built to win now, and you don't want to waste Tom Brady. That's to me, that's why the Bucs kind of set that alarm quicker than they would have if we had a different quarterback or if we were in a rebuilding year. Then you could have the luxury of missing a couple kicks, or it wouldn't be as dramatic as if you have Tom Brady, who, you know, needs to get in the playoffs to give you a chance to win that Super Bowl.
I mean, how much money would it take you to come back? I mean, you're still in shape. I mean, how much money? Give or take. I mean, you're going to be playing with Tom Brady and everybody else. I mean, how much money could it take?
I know. It's not really about the money. It's about the leg being wore out. I wish.
I don't believe that for a minute.
I believe he told me that he's coaching his son's soccer team, so I know he still got it in him.
No, I can kick a soccer ball. But, no, the thing is, I've had a lot of surgeries. I've had 3 adductor surgeries, some knee surgeries. So I have 1 kick left. That's it. And then after that, my leg would fall off. So
that's a Super Bowl in Tampa. Super Bowl in Tampa right there.
That would be nice.
And right? he actually lives in Tampa, so he's not that far.
I'll stay in shape, see if they need it at the end of the year. Nah, but trust me, if I had any kicks left, I would love to look into that. But I know it's over. I'm having too much fun coaching my kids.
All right, Bruce Arians, you heard it here first. That's the sale episode 20. Nah. So I got to ask, I'm pretty sure we talked about this the last time. What was your initial reaction when you found out that the GOAT and Rob Gronkowski were going to be joining this offensive power in Tampa Bay?
Well, the initial reaction was shocking that Tom Brady left New England. But after 20 years of that pressure, and I think he felt – that he was not appreciated there, you know, by the fans, by the team, by the organization, by the coach. So that's why he wanted out, and that's why he got his chance to become a free agent. He wanted to see what it felt like. And then when you come to a team like Tampa, you know, we've struggled the last, 10, 15 years, and I couldn't believe when he signed. I mean, especially this year with the coronavirus, all the interviews were virtual or Zoom. So I couldn't imagine what this city would have been like if it was a normal year where they could have, presented him, had a press conference with a jersey. We would have had media from all over the world just to come see Tom. And then he talks Gronkowski out of retirement, and that's just an added bonus, just to have a Super Bowl winning tight end that also Pro Bowler, one of the tops. When he's healthy, he's probably one of the best, if not the best. And he can also mentor and help the young kids. You know, I think O.J. Howard's going to benefit tremendously from having Gronk right next to him, just to show him the way, show him how to be a professional. and then if you look at Tom Brady in the locker room, Tom Brady, these kids were probably in diapers when he was winning his first Super Bowl. So a lot of these guys are going to look at him as a role model, and they're going to see how hard he works, what type of competitor he is. So there's no way you can slack on that team, knowing that Tom Brady's given everything he has. So as a young player, it's going to elevate their game too. So I think it's an amazing move by the Bucs to be able to get Tom Brady.
Right. And with COVID going on and disturbing our peace and everyone's peace, the Tampa Bay Bucs have decided not to have fans for the first 2 games. How do you think that's going to play out with the players and how the whole game flow goes? Because as you said before, the Kickers get nervous, with a huge audience. So maybe with 8 empty stadiums, like, what do you see happening?
Well, it's sad because now you have Tom Brady coming out of our tunnel with all that smoke and all that celebration and no fans to cheer for him. That's just it feels like a waste of a superstar coming to Tampa. True. But as far as the no fans, I think it's going to be hard for these guys to play without fans, especially the specialized position. Like the kicker, when you go on the field, you hear all the noise from the crowd, but you don't really focus on a particular sound. You just hear sound. Now, with the stadium being so quiet, the opponent's going to talk trash, and you're going to be able to hear a lot easier than you can with a full stadium. So I think especially in the kicking department, the guys that can focus and block out any talk or any kind of trash talk by the opponent will be the guys that could be successful. Because if you think about it, any little noise you're going to hear and could throw you off, where normally when you have all that crowd noise, you already know there's noise, but you really don't focus on anything. So I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for the quarterbacks too to get used to a quiet stadium, where normally when you're away, you have to deal with the crowd noise. So now you'll hear everything. Any communication you have between players that normally would be hard for the defense to hear or the opponents to hear, they'll be able to hear it now. You can see it now when we're watching soccer games without fans or any sport without fans. If they don't pipe in the noise on the screen for us to watch, you hear everything that goes on the field. So that's going to be really hard for guys to focus, knowing that the opponent can hear pretty much anything you say.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of off the back of what Ruth's saying, you've kind of answered my question a little bit there. I was going to ask, do you think that the artificial noise that's being piped in is going to affect the teams and affect the players, or do you think it's just going to be like a background noise that's not going to really have any impact on the game?
Well, it depends. They're going to pipe it into the stadium like baseball, so it's going to be one where I guess they got to manage how much they put in, because if you put it real loud in New Orleans this weekend, it's going to be hard for our offense to do anything because of that, especially the dome. So I'm sure the NFL is going to tell them how loud they can be, and guys won't even pay any attention to that. They'll hear the noise, but it won't be loud enough to lock up or block out any of the other noise that they're doing on the field or any talk that's going on the field. So I don't think that's going to affect it at all. I think it's better that they are putting a little bit of noise. That way it'll seem more natural, more normal than if just an empty stadium. I walked at Raymond James Stadium when it's empty, and it just feels like it's so weird just to be there without fans, you know, without any noise or anything. Everything echoes. So piping in a little bit of noise, I think, will help just kind of drown out all those echoes.
Cool. So, I mean, I'm going to sort of, my last question to you is, I suppose, one that's more trivia and something of personal interest. So you mentioned with the Buck Stadium at Ray J, the South End and the difficulty kicking there. What's been the favorite stadium that you've ever kicked in?
Well, I like to kick in any dome, you know, that way you sleep good at night, you know, you can rest because you know the wind's not going to affect your ball. But some of the new domes are really nice. I know we went to Houston, that I like the ball traveled really and carried really good there. Arizona, the ball carried nice. But as far as like a stadium that, I mean, I didn't like kicking there because it's not easy to kick, but I remember my rookie year playing at Lambeau Field just to play in that iconic stadium. We went to Chicago as well, you know, when we were in that conference. So those type of stadiums are cool just for the experience, you know, not as a kicker. They're not the easiest to kick in, especially towards the end of the year when it's cold and there's really no grass left. You're kicking in mud or dirt. So they're hard to kick, but it's really cool to say, yeah, look, I played there, because they're very iconic stadiums.
Martin, I guess. Thank you so much. This is non-football related. You know, a couple of years ago, you were in the ring with Spanish from Mike Calta Show at 102.5. Can we see a rematch between you and Spanish anytime soon?
I would love to do it, but my wife would kill me. My wife will kill me, so it's not happening. It's not going to happen. No, I stressed out my whole family when I did that. You know, and that was by accident, too. You know, they were talking about it in Spanish. You know, they were trying, which football player can I whoop or can I beat up? And then Spanish throws out my name. So I texted Mike on the show while he was on the show. I just, as a joke, I said, tell Spanish I'll kick his butt. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks later, my buddy Charlie Belcher calls me and says, hey, man, it's all set up. I go, set up? What are you talking about? What's set up? Oh, yeah, Mike Calta, the punch out. You're in. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, no, it's a done deal. So I'm like, all right. So I reached out to a friend of mine that had a boxing gym, and I trained for like a month and a half. I did two-a-days. I mean, I sparred. I mean, I got my ass kicked at sparring because I'm sparring with pros. You know, I said, look, I need to get hit. I need to know what it feels like. So so I took it so serious. I didn't even have a drink. I mean, I said, if I lose to a radio guy, I have to move out of Tampa. So I'm not.
In a loser leaves town match.
So I enjoyed the experience. It was a lot of fun to do, a lot of stress because I didn't know what to expect. So I feel like if I did it again, I would be better. But my wife said she would beat me up every day if I did that. She stressed out. No boxing for me.
But you did say you would do a rematch, so that's could stir the pot. That could stir the pot, Martin.
Hey,
come
listen,
on now.
Tell Mike if the money's right. You know, I'll pull like a Mayweather. You know, if the money's right, you never say never, right?
That's right. Hey, we have a fan question. This may be a little bit of a tough one, but I'm going to ask because they're watching on YouTube, which is one of the places that we're live streaming right now. It's from Robert Green, who says, what's your most disappointing miss and how long did it stay with you?
thanks for asking that. I'm surprised you guys didn't bring it up, those true Buck fans. No, they No, I'm just kidding, guys. No, it's a big, no, for me, it was a Green Bay kick. I mean, it's a 40-yard kick. I thought I hit it well, and I look up, and it's going right, and it's just, like, devastating. Because then they drive back and beat us in overtime. Or they beat us with, like, no time. And that kick would have given us a first-round bye in the playoffs. So that one hurt because it was the last kick of the year as well. We had a playoff game afterwards, but we lost. So then after that, it was just, like, the whole offseason, all I could think of was that kick. I didn't want to leave my house. I don't want to look at anybody because that's all everybody wanted to talk about. And it was rough. But, you know, you have to come bounce back and start over every year. So unfortunately for those guys that didn't get a chance to, advance in the playoff because of that, you know, I felt bad. But then, you know, once you start over, you got to go look forward, you know, look ahead. So, yeah. But that was a tough one to get over.
All right, so we're going to play a little bit of a fun game with you real quick before we let you go. This is kind of – well, there's two things that we do with this. Number one, we're going to play a little word association game. And here's what I've done. I've written down some things to share with you, and I just want the first word that comes to your head. Okay, oh, so, yeah, I know. We're putting you on the spot a little bit here. But it could be a player.
It's kind of late, man. I'm ready to go to bed. So do I get an excuse for some bad?
No, never. It'll be all right. So it'll be either player, coach, place, things like that. We'll do just a few of them, okay?
All right.
And we'll get you out of here. All right. So first one, John Gruden.
Super Bowl champs.
Oh, okay. The champ is here. All right. Hey, that's good.
Listen, I can't. How can I knock a coach that helped us win a Super Bowl? I really like John. I mean, he was always good to me.
Okay. Warren Sapp.
Best teammate I ever had.
Oh, okay.
That's too many words or no?
No. No, oh, first okay. thing that comes to your mind. So, price absolutely.
Price is good, right? All right.
That price is good. That's all right, yeah. Philadelphia.
We shut down one stadium and then opened the other one up with two victories. So, I love there going you to go. Philly. I love That's going to good. Philly.
Okay. All right. Let's do the New Orleans.
New Orleans. That's a tough one. We always split with New Orleans. We beat them there. They beat us at home. So it's kind of an iffy. I got a chance to play there. And trust me, I love Tampa once I landed from New Orleans.
Okay. Tony Dungy.
The best role model you can ask for. I got to use more than one word to describe him. He's amazing. He spoils you. You know, I always told him. I said, "You ruined me for the rest of my career to have you as my first coach because now every coach I ever have, I so just an amazing man." And what he does, he makes you a better person before he makes you a better football player, which it's amazing. He's a great guy, great right. person.
All right, how about Malcolm Glazier?
Again. He supported me through my bad times. He was the guy that went to the sidelines, talked to me, and I'm thinking, like, as he's telling me all these positive things, I'm thinking, if I was in your shoes, I would have fired me so fast. And so I always got to be thankful for the Glazier family sticking with me and having support. Yeah, he was amazing.
All right, two more. Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians, I love – He'll tell it like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. And so I think he's the guy that, you know, you love to play for a guy like that because you know exactly where you stand. So I think he's doing a phenomenal job. And just to be able to bring all this talent back to Tampa, I love the guy. He's super, super great coach for us.
All right, last one. And this is going to be an interesting one because this is one of my favorite people in the Buccaneers organization as a whole, Gene Deckerhoff.
Gene, he's iconic. He's
iconic. I like that.
When he calls a game, when he I've heard some of my kicks, you know, go through his voice, and it just fires you up, man. It gives me goosebumps just to even listen to his voice because it brings me back to those days. So now I get to sit in a booth right next to him because I do the Spanish broadcast for the Bucs. So. It's funny just to see him, you know, interact with Dave Moore, and then we're on the other side, and we always pick their brain before the game. So he's a true fan. I mean, he loves the team, loves what he does. I mean, his job is so hard because he's jumping from Florida State, comes to us. I remember when we did the game in London, he landed, and they got him to the game within, like, 10 minutes of the game starting, and he took his own plane, flew after the FSU game. He doesn't want to miss a game. So he's very dedicated to both teams.
All right. So last thing for you here. This isn't a word association game, but this is something that. Oh my gosh, that's so
I
funny.
Failed horribly though, right? At the one.
No, you did not. You did not. Absolutely. All right. So this is our last thing that we're gonna ask you. We do this with every guest that comes on. Which, by the way, I want to thank you personally for coming on our show. Taking some time out. I really appreciate you being
here.
This
is bounty points.
This is quite honestly.
Ruth came on my show, so I had to return the favor. I do a show with Rock Riley. I'm sure you guys know who Rock is.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, we do. And I before you leave tonight, I'm gonna give you time to promote whatever you want, including that fine. Show, by the way. Yeah. So, okay. Here's a question. We do this with every guest, and at the end of the season, we're gonna come back and we're gonna look and see who was closest or who was right. Give me your way too early, which it's not that early because week one is Sunday. But you're way too early. Buccaneers season prediction. What is the record and how far do they go?
I think it's safe to say that we can be, 12-4?
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, did I match somebody's guess?
Yes, mine. Yes.
All right. There we go.
Great minds think alike.
And you got the biggest Buccaneer flag back there. Nice.
Yes.
I feel like there's some tough games, but, I feel like once the team gets on a roll, we'll be fine. And then, I mean, I'd like to say Super Bowl. I can't not say Super Bowl after everything the Bucs have done. On paper, I mean, there's not a team that's done more this offseason than the every free agent that can play has looked at the Bucs first and even signed with us. I mean, So I don't know. I'm feeling really confident about this team.
All right. Well, before you get out of here, I'm going to put you on solo. What do you have going on? Tell us about your show with Rock Riley, which I've heard, by the way, it's fantastic. So go ahead and promote yourself. Shameless plug for a few moments.
No, that's okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for having me on. It's always fun talking Buccaneer football, and especially this year when we actually have a really good chance. But I do a radio show or a TV/radio show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. It's on Z Living, but they can go on my Instagram, Martin Gramatica 7. I can give you all the links and everywhere to find it. But it's a lot of fun. We do it. It's a national, so it's not just based on Tampa. So it airs national. So we talk about everything, every sport, every team. So we have a good time with Rock.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest, in my opinion, man to ever wear number 7, Martin Gramatica. Thank you so much for your time, man. And you are welcome anytime, my brother.
Well, yes, please come back. You're much nicer than Scott Smith over there. He said one of the quarterbacks was number 1, right?
You're number 1.
I appreciate you saying that. Well, Jeff Garcia. Jeff Garcia. I'm like, come on, Garcia only played 2 years.
I think you scored more points than him. I'm pretty sure. As a Bucs fan, I can say that, man.
Thank you.
All right, Martin. Thank you so much for your time,
Martin,
brother.
Everybody.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
See you, man.
Night.
Man, what a good dude.
He's awesome.
He's so fun, man. That was a lot of fun. I'm gonna bring Britt Buck. Britt Buck didn't mute his mic while we were talking, so
Are we gonna do the word association game?
What do you mean?
Or what you just did with him?
We just did. What are you talking about?
I know you're gonna do it with us, though. I know you did it with him. Are you doing it with us?
No. Was I supposed to?
No, I'm just saying it'd be fun. Are you feeling left out? No, I'm just saying it'd be fun if you did it with us.
Go ahead and do it with Evan. He wants a ton.
I have another question to ask you all that I sent you earlier, which apparently none of you came to the pre-show meeting to check.
Okay, so I don't even know what the question is, so just hit it to me first.
You know, I can hit you with my answers right now.
Yeah, so can I.
All right, here we go. So this is the question, Ruth, and all of you that are watching in the comments, by the way, thank you all for tuning in. That was a wonderful interview with Martin.
He's awesome.
All right, so Bucs team captains, all right? In order to get a team captain, and by the way, Ruth, side note, before we end this program, I'm going to tell you about an article that I wrote today, and it pays special attention to you, okay? So just bear with me. Once we get through this question, I'm going to tell you about this article. But anyway, Bucs team captains, all right? So they're decided on by a player's vote. This is for every team, by the way, not just for the Bucs, but this is for every team. Who would be your picks for team captain? this year for the Buccaneers. All right. So this one I'm going to give you. You're going to get two on offense, two on defense, and then one on special teams. All right. So who will go around the horn? Two on offense, two on defense, one for special teams. And we'll start with Kaylee. Kaylee, who you got?
On offense, I think you have to go Mike Evans. I just feel like he's kind of a lock. And I think right now, too, like he's coming up under Tom Brady. He's made comments about how close they've gotten, you know, on and off the field. So I do think that he's kind of coming up as even more of a leader than he has been, which is hard to say because he's got every right to be a diva, but yet really hasn't been his entire career so far. So gotta love him. And I think, you know, you're looking at, it could be Tom Brady. I'm not going to be boring and say Tom Brady, but I'll say Ali Marpet is a big one. He was a, you know, captain last year. I think that position alone, like left guard, he's just someone who is consistent. He makes the plays. He has the respect of his team and doesn't get all the credit. But I do think guys on the field see it and they have nothing but amazing things to say about him. So I'll go there. I'll say defense. Lavonte David, it's hard pressed to pass him up for captain, to be honest with you. I think obviously he's kind of, you know, one of the leaders on that defense. I don't see him not getting that C patch on his jersey. So I'll go there and I'll go Ryan Smith. I think he's someone who has the respect of teammates. He is someone whose name has come up kind of in their, you know, in various, not only coaches, but also other teammates. Where they're able to kind of call him out as someone who does work hard both on and off the field. So that's where I'll go. And then special teams is tough. I would say Scotty Miller is someone that could get it kind of all out right. of the blue.
Bushman?
I would say for offense, Tom Brady. I mean, why the hell not? And then I would also say Ryan Jensen. I mean, Ryan Jensen's also kind of like that second general on the offensive line and everything too. So I would say Tom Brady and Ryan Jensen. For defense, I'll go JPP. JPP is one of the older guys on the team. I mean, if any guy that can play like he can with one hand, you got to make him a captain. And then also I'm going to say probably Vita Vea too as well. You know, he is one of the younger guys on the defense as well, but he's been really stepping up his game. He's really improved since he actually has been improving every single year. So I would have him as a team captain. And then special teams. Well, I was going to say Matt Gay, but he's no longer there. Suck up. He just got there. I wouldn't say suck up. You could maybe put. You know what? I'll throw out a vine here. Antoine Winfield Jr. I mean, he's a specialist. You can put him on special teams as well. I mean, he earned that spot. He earned that number one job. You know, getting drafted in the second round. The guy is blowing people's minds on camp right now. So I would say Antoine Winfield Jr. too is one of the rookies.
All right, Britt Buck.
You know, you look at all the players that have been captains on the team. And not just on the books, and you look at who the books captains have been in previous years. I think it's going to be pretty predictable this year, as obviously a lot of people have said. Mike Evans should be a lock in there. Yeah. He's shown that he's a leader on the field, off the field. He's one of the longest tenured players in this offense that actually regularly plays. Yeah, terrible picks by
him. You know, it's not often that he gets picked on like that. So that was kind of a nice moment.
Hey, man, it's my opinion. Yeah. Whatever. They can kiss my ass. Whatever.
Wow.
Is it?
Wow.
You don't like him? You don't like him. I don't care. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
You had a cup of vinegar before you came on, didn't you? But,
no, Melton.
I respect his criticism. It's all good. Whatever.
It sounds like it. But yeah, outside of Mike Evans, I think yes, Tom Brady has shown up and he's been a leader elsewhere. I think it's impossible not to give him a C. And you know, based on James's rules, I can only have two on offense, so I've got to now switch to defense. Lavonte David, as previously mentioned, has to sort of have one of those C's. I did think, actually, JPP, like El Bushman, because he is such a vocal leader, but I don't think he needs a C, and I think the players realize that Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be a leader on and off the field, regardless of whether or not he has that C. So I think the second C on defense actually goes to Ndamukong Suh. Just got a feeling out there. And special teams,
I could actually see Ryan Smith getting special teams. I know Kaylee said Ryan Smith early, but for defense.
Do you know this person? I feel like you know this person.
No. Anyway, go ahead. I don't. He's a. I'm looking at him right now on Twitter right now.
You know, you need to give the that man a lady. You need to give that person
comments coming, people. We love it.
It's cool, man. Whatever. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Do what I want. I can pick a rookie for a captain, man. He earned it. He can earn a captaincy, whatever, man.
Right. Oh, you know, though, special teams is one of those random captain's positions. Who saw Dare Agumbawale getting special teams captain last year?
If Gramatica was back on the team, I'll put Gramatica as a captain.
Gramatica.
Automatica.
You know who else is going to be a captain?
Automatica, Gramatica.
The water boy is going to be a captain.
You know who's not going to be a captain? Jameis Winston. Third on the depth chart. Told y'all. All right, root the truth. You're up.
Well, obviously, the GOAT has a lot of my respect and him coming in. All the people are going to be looking up to him. So, I mean, that's an obvious pick, Tom Brady.
So if I can just ask, obviously, Ruth, you want the GOAT in there. How do you feel about the cat that appeared on the field between the Cowboys and the Giants?
Oh, that little black cat?
Do you think that the little black cat is deserving of a captain position? Yeah, I've heard he is a free agent, and I think the books should be looking at him.
Don't let an atom bomb know.
Ruth, the truth, please keep going.
Okay, so...
Well, she was going on about the GOAT.
Shut up, I'm talking. As someone said in the comments, I'm sorry. That was rude. As someone said in the comments, I do believe Mike Evans is a huge face of the franchise, especially with the last couple seasons that he's had and what he's brought to the team. So those would be my two picks for our offense. For our defense, Shaquille Barrett as well as Lavonte David. Them two would be my two picks for defense.
You just said that because Adam Baum wanted you to.
Maybe. Yeah. And?
And?
Oh,
and?
You know Adam Baum.
Collusion. Collusion on the show.
This
collusion.
Is the tweet of the night, everybody. Yes. That's the tweet of the freaking night, Nick Anderson.
It's actually not what a tweet. It's on Facebook.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is.
Everything got so excited. It didn't matter.
No, I don't care what it is, Adam Baum. Anyway, all right. So I got – man, I'm torn because – I really, you know what? Kaylee kind of hit it for me. I think Mike Evans, I think you have to give him one. Dude, you're off. Gosh, you're horrible. I love Mike Evans, so I think he's going to definitely get it. I have a little bit of a harder time with picking Brady, too. So I'm kind of in agreement with you on that. You know what? Let's just throw a random one out there. I like Ryan Jensen. Give him the seat. Give Ryan Jensen the C. I'm cool with that. You know, do that. That'd be something different.
I know that's why I said that when I picked him.
I know. That's what I'm
saying. Are we gonna have a watch party on Sunday?
I'm gonna watch it at my house and I'm gonna have my own party. Because I basically live in another state, so it's impossible for me to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Ludeman, party for one.
Party for two, three, four, something like that. Anyway. All right.
Are you actually telling me that your wife and
no way. Defensively, I got Lavonte David. And Lavonte David's kind of a go. And look, I don't think JPP is going to get it. I'm going to vote for Devin White. I think Devin White's going to be the second captain on defense. And then, you know what? Just to show unity, I'm going to go Ryan Smith, too.
Unity.
I'm going to go with Ryan Smith as well.
We Eiffel Towered this one.
Yeah, all right, we did.
So let's go around the horn. I want to know everyone's predictions on game one with the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Saints. We're going to start with you, James Flash Newman.
Didn't we do that 2 weeks ago? If you check out episode number 18,
we did that.
Did you watch that episode? Oh, wait, that might have been the one you weren't here for.
Honestly, I don't remember
that. I believe that she was in coming back from Denver, mate, possibly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she wasn't here for that. Yeah. Okay, well, we can do that real quick, but let's answer a few questions.
We should.
But we will do that. Then that's a good one. Give us your score predictions in the game, too, on the comments as well. Here's a good one first from W. Thomas Corral. Coral? Yeah, let's go with that. So how many sacks does JPP have and how many does Shaq have this year? Real quick, go around the horn. Numbers. Elvis, what do you think?
Both double digits.
I would say both double. 10
Shaq,
and 12.
Shaq will have more, but they'll have double digits.
Okay.
Is that okay, Adam Baum? Is that okay?
Yeah, because Shaq is earning his is earning that contract. So
muted now. All right, Kaylee, go ahead.
I agree. I think they're both in the double digits. I think Shaq, you know, he's obviously superior in this situation in this comparison. So I think he's gonna take it there. I don't have a number, but I'd put him up 15 plus.
He's gotta earn his money. So
you think Shaq's gonna have 15 or more sacks this year?
Yeah, 19 last year.
I mean, that's a tough one for me. I don't know about 15. That
you know what? I'll go with that number. I'll go with 15.
He's playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say I'm totally with Kaylee there. This is a conversation that I've actually had with a couple of people. When you look at how this defense is stacked up and how the certain pieces come together to play the positions that they do, Vita Vea occupies a lot of space in the middle of that offensive line. You have Ndamukong Suh, you have Willie Golson trying to get into the backfield and pushing back. Three guys are occupying five linemen per snap. Then you have blitzing linebackers. I think this defense is set up because we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen in Denver with Von Miller getting all the opportunities he's got. We've seen it with Clay Matthews in Green Bay, all the opportunities he got to get to the quarterback. I think a similar thing is going to happen here in Tampa when you look at how this defense is set up and the fact that it's going to be opportunities to get to the quarterback. I think Shaq's going to have 14, 15, 16 sacks. He's not going to get as many.
No, I disagree with that because he had 19 last year. So that means that every defense in the NFL that we're going to play this season is going to be preparing for Shaq to come in and rule the defense. I don't see him having that many. Now, if you were to tell me he was going to have maybe 11 to 12, I could see that. I don't think 15 is a number he's going to hit. I don't think I really don't. I mean, yeah, if he does, great, fantastic. But I just don't – I don't see it being that much. I really don't. I think he'll lead in sacks, but I really don't know. It's going to be difficult for that.
I think one thing then – okay. Okay, one thing that I'll ask to you then, James, is if it isn't Shaq that's getting the sacks, that means that someone is being left open. Who do you think – the sack leader is going to be on the team then?
Oh my God. Sorry. I keep looking at these comments. Sack leader. Listen,
yeah, John Decker. I know. The comments are blowing up. I just want to give a shout out to Royale that's in there from On the Clock Radio. Thank you so much for the shout outs. And thanks for having me on the show a couple weeks ago. You guys were awesome.
I also am going to give a shout out to Raul because I've never been asked to be on your show and you're a hater. So how about that? You hater. Anyway. No, in answer to your question, who do I think is going to be the sack leader? I really think Vita Vea is going to be the sack leader this year. I think it's his year.
You think it's Vita Vea? But he's not asked to do that role.
Will you let me finish? You asked me a question.
No.
Mute him.
I am muted. Anyway, he can unmute himself. That's the worst part of it. But no, what I'm saying is, honestly, if you are asking me if Vita Vea can be a guy that can come in and make an impact, I agree with your point. But it's hard for me to get behind a guy who had 19 and a half sacks last year and then to come in and get 19 and a half more or 15 more this year when all the defenses you're playing are going to be preparing for you. I mean, it's different because nobody knew what to really expect from Shaq Barrett last year. Nobody picked him to have 9.5 sacks. Not one person said, yes, Shaq Barrett is going to have 19 and a half sacks this year. Not one, no one, not one media outlet, not, you know, anybody. Nobody picked that. And so now you have a guy that you're expecting to do well. It's just like Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is somebody you prepare for. Now you're preparing for Shaquille Barrett. He's not going to get through as much. He really won't.
No, you're right. Khalil Mack was very quiet last season.
I think absolutely, like, yes, you can plan – for the player, but I think you've still got to deal with the threat that you've got in front of you. You've got Lavonte David, who's capable of getting to the quarterback. You've got Devin White, who's clearly shown he's one of the fastest people on a football field, with chasing back a running back after falling over and having to get up, turn around, and then chase him down. When you've got that kind of speed and power, I think it's going to be a case of pick your poison. On one side, you're going to have JPP, who's one of the most experienced pass rushers in the NFL. On the other side of him, you're going to have Shaq Barrett, who found ways to get to the quarterback. And was some of that due to lack of film? Possibly. It'll be interesting to see how he does again this year now the film's out on him. But anyone on that front seven is capable of getting to the quarterback. I just think this defense is set up to allow Shaq Barrett to get through to the quarterback. I think he is going to be the sack leader again. And I think he's going to earn that contract.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. All right. Real quick before we end the show tonight. Let's go around. Give us your – because Ruth wasn't here 2 weeks ago when we did this, but go ahead. Let's do your score prediction. Who wins this game? And I think, again, I saw a question earlier that is, do you think Leonard Fournette's going to suit up this week? And I don't. I think it's too little too late for him as far as getting in, learning the playbook and things like that. It's still Ronald Jones' job anyway, so he's going to be the starter for sure this week. All right, let's go around the horn here. Score predictions, what do you think real quick? And then we'll go ahead and cut it loose here. Brett Buck, you can start. What do you think?
I'm going to address actually a really, really good question. Sorry, I'm stealing the show for a moment. So W. Thomas Carl asks, got a question. How much more yak will Evans and Godwin get with a more accurate quarterback? Honestly, I can actually answer this pretty well. Now, I have access through the Buccaneers to the B-roll film of practices. Now, what that actually shows is a lot of Godwin and Evans being thrown in stride. You've got to remember, Brady is a master at putting a ball into a very, very tiny window, knowing exactly where his receiver is going to be. Absolutely threading that needle. And yet, Evans, I've said to a couple of people, is going to be his Randy Moss from that Super Bowl offense. And as far as Sunday's game goes, 24-17 Bucks.
All right, Ruth, what do you think?
32-27 Bucks.
32?
Yeah.
There's safety in there?
What? Yeah.
That's a random number. All right, 30. I don't know.
Okay. Here to mine, okay?
Remember, it's six points for a touchdown, one for a field goal.
Wow.
This isn't bad.
Three for a field goal, two for a safety.
Oh, wait, this isn't the XFL where they could choose one.
No.
No.
I wish it was like the XFL sometimes. But no,
this isn't the
hashtag go for two.
This isn't the California Penal League. This isn't that.
No. All right, Bushman.
All right, sorry.
I'm going to say 31-27 Buccaneers.
All right, Kaylee.
I'm going to say 31-27 Saints.
Ooh, going
here.
All right. The Jacksonville Jaguars colors.
You'll hear more on why on Sunday's NFL pregame show at Rafferty's Bar and Grill with Sports Cafe.
I was going to let you do that if you stopped jumping ahead of me. Jeez. Anyway. All right. I'm actually going to go 27-24 Bucks on the leg of Ryan Succop, who's going to make the game winner.
All right. One question. Who is scoring the Tampa Bay Bucks' first touchdown?
Oh, Mike Evans easily.
Godwin. Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a bomb to Evans. Watch.
Tom Brady walks it in.
No, I think.
Oh, that would be so awesome if Tom Brady ran it in.
It's Rob. I say Rob.
You know what? Gronk will do it and he'll spike it.
Let him do it. Spike it 100 times. I don't care.
I'm going to take it completely different direction then. Shady McCoy takes a screen to the house.
Wow.
That's bold. Speaking of bold,
that is bold. Is Gronk lifting him up into the end zone?
No, he kicked him.
Oh, okay.
He kicked him.
Butler, just, shout out to Jordan Butler agreeing with me that Gronk gets the first TD. Appreciate you, buddy.
That. All right, cool. Real quick before we go, I am going to let El Bushman kind of take the floor here for just a second because – There's something really cool that they're doing over on Sports Caffeine, which we're a part of too, and work with and work a lot. It's our brother show, sister show. I don't know how to really explain what the relationship is.
We're best friends.
We're besties. But anyway,
an Alabama wedding.
That's right, Alabama wedding. So, Bushman, tell us what's going on Sunday, what you guys have going on. I know you talked about it for a second, but take it away.
Well, as I got the solo floor. So we Sports Caffeine is on tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. on FanStream and also Facebook, Periscope, Twitch, YouTube. But anyways, yeah, 8:30 tomorrow night is Sports Caffeine. But also on Sunday morning, we will be doing an NFL pregame show from our sponsor location at Rafferty's Bar and Grill here down in Sarasota, Florida. So if you are down in Sarasota, Florida, please come die to Rafferty's Bar and Grill. We'll be there from 11 to 12:30. Kaylee and I will be there as well. The rest of the crew of Sports Caffeine. So come on down. There's going to be giveaways. Drink specials, all kinds of cool stuff. So come on down and enjoy the NFL pregame show. So yeah.
All right, Britt Buck also has a show announcement this week, so we'll just go around the horn real quick, I guess, and let everybody talk about the other shows that they're doing too. Go ahead.
Hey, so you can catch me. I'm going to be appearing with Joe the Animal Fulford on his podcast show on Thursday nights. I'm sure you guys know when that is, but Animal and myself are going to be talking football. So definitely check out the show and look forward to seeing you there. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. What an episode 20.
Yeah. All right. And then Ruth and Kaylee, y'all are up. What y'all got going on this week? Whoever wants to talk about it. One of you two can talk about it. Kaylee,
you know what? She doesn't even know that she's got her mic mute. Let's try it again.
Okay, Beauty and the Cleats, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, episode 3, we're going in.
Ready? Yeah, baby.
How you're already there as well.
We will most likely be having a guest joining us on Wednesday night. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Talk some sports. And I just want to give a shout out to everybody who's been rocking with us for these 20 episodes. Now that the NFL season has started, we have so much more to bring to the show. And it's
this is our last episode without football.
Last episode before like the real thing happens.
Yeah. So please, also to our hosts here, don't go anywhere after the show because we got to talk. All right. That's going to do it for us here. I don't have other than of course Sports Caffeine, which I help with, help host and stuff. I don't get invited to podcasts. So
tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I don't get invited to other people's podcasts. So thanks Raul for that.
I'll be on Buck What You Heard on Wednesday night.
Yo,
again, I wish maybe my invitation is being lost in the mail. I don't know.
I'll be on his show at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I've watched his podcast. He's really
cool. Everybody's got a show that they.
All right, James / Moomin, me and Kaylee would love to have you on Beauty and the Cleats in the upcoming episodes. Whenever you are available, you let us know.
Are you sure? Because the last time I watched y'all's episode, y'all were making fun of me and my fantasy football team. So y'all
No, you made fun of yourself for those selections. No one made fun of you for those. You made fun of yourself.
I didn't make fun of myself. I'm building a dynasty.
I also am a part of another show. It's called the Tom Gronkowski Show. It's Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. So check me out on the sports fan base, rhodeisland.com.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, before we promote everybody's podcast on here, that's going to do it for us. Hey, listen, we are ready for the NFL season. It is coming up. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. We will have updates all throughout the season. We're going to have shows throughout the season. Bucks Life Media will have post-game shows. Britt Buck kind of helps with that, does some pre-game, post-game, halftime stuff. So make sure you guys are checking him out on that too as we get ready. Thank God for the season this week, this Sunday, 4:25. Tom Brady, folks, will be in a Bucks uniform under center for the first game of the season. I can't believe it. It's going to be fantastic. So for all of our hosts here, Britt Buck, Ruth the Truth, Kaylee, O Bushman, and myself, thank you all so much for watching Set the Sails, another wonderful episode. We will see you all.
All right, go Bucks on three.
All right, go Bucks on three. One, two, three.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Fire them cannons.
Yeah. Siege the day. All right.
Thanks for listening to Set the Sails. Listen to us on Apple Podcast, a Bucks Life Media production in association with FanStreamSports.com. See you next Monday on Set the Sails.